Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, we are told that the law of God is good if one uses it lawfully, for it's not made for a righteous man. You go, what do you mean it's not made for a righteous man? I'm a good person, I keep the Ten Commandments. No, you don't keep the Ten Commandments. As we often point out to you here, you probably don't even know what the Ten Commandments are as far as having them memorized. But you see, the Ten Commandments were never given to us to be our stairway to heaven, right? It's never given to us as this way of saying, be this good and you're getting in. No, the more we try to be good, the more we realize we're anything but. You know, as a matter of fact, the Ten Commandments have been accurately called God's MRI machine. You go in for an MRI, what can an MRI do for you? An MRI can show you what's wrong with you, but it can't cure you, right? If a doctor said to you after running you through the MRI, oh man, you've got a bad condition. If he said to you, well, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to run you through the MRI again. You'd probably be looking for another doctor, right? Because it can only reveal, it can't heal. Well, in a sense, that's what the law is there to do. It can't heal you. It can only reveal the fact that you need a Savior. But that's the second part. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. In other words, the first step that you need to have a right relationship with God is a humble and accurate understanding that you are not right with God. You're never going to reach for a Savior, are you, until you know you need saving. So the law of the Lord is perfect, and it will convert your soul. It will drive you to the place where you turn to the Savior. Boy, that's the first blessing of the Word of God. It's perfect. It does exactly what God set it out to do. Second, notice David goes on to say, the testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. Boy, when you got a book like this that issues an indictment towards us that is so devastating, that says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, I can guarantee you the first thing that's going to run through the mind of the average individual is this, says who? You know, well, why should I believe the Bible? And boy, you know, it's on like Donkey Kong then, right? You know, it's like, oh, well, contradicts itself. And, you know, this and that. You can't trust the Bible. You know, it's been changed. It's been corrupted. All the, you know, okay. You know, I understand that people will have honest questions about that, and there's solid answers to those questions. But more often than not, it's a dodge. More often than not, it's just a way of saying, this is making me uncomfortable, and I want to change the subject. Well, it's the Bible. You know, God, the author of the Bible, understands that. And so he's provided the testimonies of the Lord are sure. They'll make you make wise the simple. And this is what this means. You see, the Bible doesn't begin with the words once upon a time. It doesn't begin with the words a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Right? The Bible purports to tell us how God has interacted with people in the same world that we live in today. In fact, God's interaction with people has left its mark. You know, the people that we meet in the Bible are real people. They lived in real times, real circumstances. And guess what? Because that's true, the message of the Bible can be confirmed by the testimonies of the Lord. That is, God is going to leave behind archaeological evidence that what we see in the Bible is, in fact, true and reliable. The testimonies of the Lord are sure we see in Scripture, and Jesus laid down the gauntlet for that. In John chapter 3 and verse 12, he said, if I tell you earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? Well, that's what I love about the Lord, is he answers that all the question. Well, says who? Why should I believe this? Well, you know, once again, when we think about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. You know, that didn't happen in some obscure corner of the world. That didn't happen, you know, in the viewing of two or three individuals. You know, in fact, the evidence, the historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus is so overwhelming that any honest inquirer who takes a good hard look at it is going to come to the conclusion that this is real stuff. This isn't just stuff we believe because it makes us feel good. It isn't stuff we believe because we sing the right amount of songs and get ourselves whipped into a frenzy, and somehow we have this faith in the Bible. No, it is true because it can be checked out in the reality of human events. Sir William Ramsay was considered, during his life, the most eminent scholar regarding the history of ancient Rome. He was also a committed atheist. In fact, he was challenged by a friend to evaluate the New Testament from his perspective as a master historian. Well, Ramsay just felt like the New Testament had really nothing to contribute to his studies and his knowledge of ancient Rome and its culture. He never really had even taken a look at it. Well, his friend decided, okay, I'll tell you what, I will evaluate the historical reliability of the book of Luke. You can evaluate the historical reliability of the book of Acts. Let's get back together and compare notes. Well, Ramsay began to study the book of Acts and how Luke meticulously describes places and events and politicians and practices of the day. And finally, at the end of his study of the book of Acts, Ramsay came to this conclusion, quote, Luke is a historian of the first rank. He not only was convinced that Luke was an accurate historian, an excellent historian, but Ramsay was so blown away by the testimony found in this historical document, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. The testimonies of the Lord are sure making wise the simple. Now, other religions can't claim the same thing. Book of Mormon, you know, as we used to say in the 60s, you can't dig it. Because there is no archaeological evidence to support the Book of Mormon. You know, the holy books of Eastern mysticism, they don't even claim that what they are saying is historical in any sense. But here we see that God has given us this foundation for our faith. We don't believe this just because it makes us feel good. We believe it because it's true. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. Third great blessing of the Word of God. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The precepts of the Lord are right. In other words, God gives us guidelines for life that really work in our lives. In Isaiah 48, God said, oh, if you had only kept my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. You see, God doesn't give us thou shalts and thou shalt nots in his word. Because he's looking around going, there's that planet there. I think there's somebody having a good time down there. I'm going to put an end to that. Some people believe that's why God gave us those commandments. But no, his commandments, his precepts, if you will, are those that lead us to life. And as we begin to discover how good God's precepts are, boy, it causes a joy to come about in our lives that you're not going to find anywhere else. I love what King David said about this in Psalm 119, verse 97. He said, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditations. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I've restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Well, you talk about the testimony of a satisfied customer. When we begin to walk in the word of God, when we begin to apply it to our lives, we begin to discover the message of the word of God isn't just practical, it's actually pleasurable to walk in the ways of the Lord. Now notice, it goes on, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Oh, I love that, because God hasn't left us just to sort of grope our way through this life or to stumble through the darkness. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, you want to know how to be in the middle of God's good, acceptable, and perfect will for your life in any circumstance? Walk in his word. The vast majority of God's will for your life and my life has already been revealed to us in his work. He's given us that gift. You know, there are so many that say, oh, God, please show me your will. Show me your will. Show me your will. A great analogy about this is, you know, if someone gave you for your birthday a Rolex watch, you know, one of the finest timepieces in the world, what would be the best way to say thank you to that person for such an amazing gift? Would it be by constantly asking them what time it is or by looking at the watch, right? Well, again, God has given us his will in his word. And if you really want to say thank you to him for his good, acceptable, and perfect will, become acquainted with his word. You're facing some difficult circumstances, some fork in the road, some ethical things that are kind of blowing you away. Take what I call the Proverbs challenge. You know, here's what you do. Pray, first of all. Say, God, I want your wisdom. I want your direction in this situation. Open the book of Proverbs and start reading. I guarantee you, it won't take you more than a minute or 2 minutes before you start finding specific, applicable pieces of God's wisdom that are going to show you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, what you need to do in that set of circumstances. Time and time again. You know, it is so wonderful to see that God's word really is that lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Notice it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. That's what we find in the scripture, the fear of the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about cringing animal fear. I'm talking about awe and respect, a proper understanding of who God really is. And you know, the higher our view of God, the higher our quality of life is going to be. The greater our joy, the more we understand who God is. Not God as I understand him. Not God brought down to my level so I can figure him out. I want to know the true and living God. And the more I come to a place where I look upon God and I am just slack-jawed, dumbstruck, amazed at who he is, that's the closer to having an accurate view of God we're ever going to find. The fear of the Lord, you see, it's clean. It's going to clean up your life. The more you know and respect and understand God, the more your life's going to change. Here's a great example of this. Take just one attribute of God, his omnipresence, that God is everywhere at once. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, we read, I will never leave you and never forsake you. Now, that is either this morning to you one of the most comforting things you've ever heard or one of the most convicting. Because God is always there. You know, he can't take his eyes off you. He loves you that much. And that's either going to light up your life or you're going to go, ooh, man, really? He was watching when I did that last week? Yeah. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't take breaks. He's never going to say, I'm going to go get a snack. I'll be right back. No, he's on the case 24/7. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes we study angels. We got a question about angels on our Bible phone-in question and answer program, A Reason for Hope, last week. And, you know, one of the questions that came out of that was, wow, you know, if these angels are around us all the time, man, that's kind of convicting because they're always watching everything I do. I go, man, you got bigger fish to fry, man. It's not angels you should be concerned about. It's God. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Oh, I love that one. Because you know what it tells us? Tells us that God always gets it right. He has never blown a single decision as the judge of all the earth. And man, that can be so comforting. That can be such a refuge. You know, in my line of work, I'm regularly asked to perform memorial services. And I love memorial services where it's a saint who dearly loved God and just ran for the finish line and just, you know, there was just no doubt about where this person was. And those are beautiful. But one of the tough ones is when someone comes in and they're like, well, I don't know, this person never showed much interest in their walk with God. You know, I've had to do memorials for family members that fit that description, and inevitably someone will come up to me and they'll say, where do you think this person is right now? And first of all, I'm not omniscient. Yeah. Second of all, I'm not the judge of all the earth. You know, my take on someone's spiritual destination, and $3.50 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. So, you know, I don't want to, on the one side of the coin, say, no, I'm sure, you know, that person, you know, that just lived this total party animal lifestyle and wasn't interested at all in the things of God, I'm sure they're okay. I don't want to give them false assurance. But neither do I want to put some kind of heavy trip on them, like, well, it's too bad. They're in the ultimate weenie roast, and you're going next. You know, I mean, that's not what people need to hear at a memorial, right? And instead, I've come to share something I found in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25, and this I shared at the relative of a dear, dear relative of mine who passed away. I really don't know where they were coming from spiritually. God knows. And it was Abraham's statement to God, will not the judge of all the earth do what is right? That person is in the hands of a just and loving God who will do the right thing by them. We will not stand in heaven someday and have our hands on our hips and say, God, I think you really blew that one. No, in fact, in Revelation chapter 15, we are told that one of the songs that's sung in heaven is a song of praise to God because his judgments have been made manifested. He always gets it right. You know, and so the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. We discover that in his word. We see how God dealt with people in the past. We have a good idea of how he's going to deal with us in the present. And finally, I love how the psalmist wraps this up. He says this, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there's great reward. Now, I love this because when I'm in the Word of God, it's going to keep me from going ashore on either side of a river. It's going to keep me off the rocks. First of all, it's going to warn me if I start deviating, right? But it's also going to woo me to a place where I taste and see that the Lord's good, where I discover that his ways are really going to satisfy, where I decide to walk with the Lord, not because I'm saying no to something that I really want to do, but because I'm saying yes to something better. So this is what we have when we look at the Word of God. No wonder Job declared this. I love Job's testimony about his relationship with the Word of God. He said this, and it's so beautiful, especially in light of all that Job went through. He said this, verse 10, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot is held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Why could Job say that? Because he put the word of God into practice. And this is the blessing that we have from God's word today. This is the blessing that's sitting in your lap this morning. And sometimes we don't realize just what a blessing we have. You know, Dear Abby tells this story, and again, she related in her column, and I don't know how apocryphal it was, about a young man who was told by his father that when he turned 18, his father would give him a check so that he could go out and buy a new car. And this kid looked forward to that, and he had the car all picked out, you know, all this stuff. And his 18th birthday came, and his dad gave him this gift to open. He opens up the gift, and instead of seeing the check he expected, there was a Bible there instead. Well, the kid just threw a fit. He goes, man, I've just been ripped off. I was promised this check. I was promised this car. He slammed the Bible down, told his dad off, left, didn't talk to his dad for 5 years. Well, 5 years later, his dad passed away from a heart attack. And this young man came back to the funeral, and he just felt overwhelmed, you know, at this whole idea that he'd never gotten a chance to get right with his dad. And as he talked to his mom, he said, you know, your dad really wanted you to have that Bible. You know, I think it'd be good if you took it. All right. You know, so he took the Bible, took it home, and you know, just on a whim, he opened it up. And as he opened it up, he found inside the Bible an envelope with the check for the car that he could have had if he'd just opened up the Bible. You know, sometimes I think we're just like that young man. We get so enamored with the things of this world. We get so caught up in wanting to see this and that and the other that we forget this priceless treasure and everything that we could have. We just opened up the Word of God. Well, let me ask you a question. In your heart, in your life, do you see the Bible as something excellent? Is it to you, like Job, something that's more wonderful to you than your necessary food? Why is it so important for us to have this high view of Scripture? Well, Jesus basically laid it out for us in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. There, our Lord speaking said this, and this, I think, is probably one of the most important scriptures you need to take to heart regarding your relationship with the Word of God, how to win your battle with the Bible. There he said, "Therefore, take heed how you hear. Whoever has, to him more will be given. Whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away from him." Can I ask you a question? Do you value God's Word? Do you hold it in high esteem? Do you hold it in high esteem enough to allow it to touch and change your life? Do you understand that what we are dealing with here is not man's word about God, but God's word to man? It's God's basic instructions before leaving earth. The wise man, the wise woman, is the one who not only hears the Word, heeds the Word, but holds the Word in this kind of high esteem. Oh, may God give us that kind of heart today. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for these beautiful truths we've been able to see and these seven ways that your Word is intended to be just this excellent blessing within our lives. Lord, we look around at the creation and we see that you are awesome and majestic and magnificent and certainly beyond our finite human minds to comprehend. But I thank you that in your Word we discover everything we need to have a living relationship with you. That's what we desire. That's what we long for. So, Lord, I pray that you would win the battle for the Bible in our hearts, that we wouldn't take it for granted. We wouldn't become so familiar with it that familiarity breeds contempt. But rather, each and every day as we turn to it, we would anew and afresh say, "Lord, speak to me. Speak, for your servant hears. Open my eyes that I might see wonderful things within your Word," as King David prayed. And Lord, not just as we read the Word daily, but then realize that as we're reading the Word, it's reading us. It's revealing your truth to us. It's leading us to places where we have to grow deeper in our trust in you, and we have to learn to let go of the old ways and the old patterns and the old well-worked routines and rituals that we've worked out. Maybe we even tried to Christianize them a bit. But your Word blows all of that away. It removes all the pretense. It reveals us for who we truly are. And in a sense, Lord, that humbles us, but in a sense it exalts us because it leads us back to that place of understanding how much you love us, that you know us totally and yet love us utterly, that you cannot love us more and that you will not love us less, and that you even define the character and nature of your love in your Word. Oh, let us receive your Word, as it's been said, as a love letter from you, sharing your heart, revealing your truth to us. God, we want to receive it, not as man's word, but as your Word, and so see our lives changed. Thank you for this priceless gift. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661. 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior, we want to glorify you. Glorify you.
This program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.